All right, last Sunday we looked at the... Wow, what was that? All right, last Sunday we looked at the freedom God has given us in America and how we have taken it for granted and why our society now views God's word as a strange thing. And also mentioned that our salvation, which we also seem to take so lightly, should have cost us something, some habit or possibly even a friend or a family member. That's what we're going to talk about today, our friends. But before we get into this sermon, let us pray. Bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful to just be here in your house. It is another day you have given us. This is your day. It is also time where we just set aside what we have going on to come gather in your house and to study your word, Lord. We are thankful for that freedom. We are thankful for your word and what it says to us and for your son, his sacrifice, and the Holy Spirit and his guidance. Lord, we are thankful for all those things. And as we go into this sermon, Lord, I ask that you open all of our hearts and our minds so that we can learn from this and actually apply it in our daily walk with you so that we can grow stronger and closer with you every day. Lord, we ask all these things in your son's precious name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to open up with... just by briefly looking at a verse that helps to set the context of this sermon. That verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And these are on the back panel of your bulletin if you're new, in order. So if you want to get ahead of me a little bit, you can do that. But it's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We change when we get saved. That is, for those of us who are truly saved, that change takes place. Our past is forgiven. We are given a brand new start in life. We have received the Holy Spirit. We have a brand new desire for the things of the Lord. The change in our outlook should be like the change from night to day. We no longer walk alone in darkness, but we walk with the Holy Spirit in light. So this change just simply means we are no longer the person we used to be. Now, sure, we will have those same desires, those same temptations. Satan knows what they are. But we need to make sure that we don't give in because we now have the Holy Spirit helping us to overcome these temptations and these weaknesses that we have. But you may be wondering what this has to do with friends and family, because the title of the sermon is The Importance of Good Friends. And I've mentioned you can lose friends and family members when you get saved if you're not careful, you can actually alienate them, which is not what we want to do. But this is the very reason some people need to be left in your past, because you are not the same person. They will not fit in with the new you. Did it? Okay, well, I can't help that. Apparently that means the battery died. All right, well, I'll talk louder. We'll try it again, but I think it's going bad. Let me see. I will leave it alone. I'll just talk louder if it goes out again. Let me know. let me see. So these people that don't fit into your new life, what do you do with them? Well, you still pray for them. You need to do that. You even need to evangelize to them. But your most effective tool for witnessing will be the change in your life. If you are no longer doing what you used to do, they should wonder about that. It's not on. You're killing me, Jerry. John, it's going to be a heck of a recording to go out there. Okay, let me see. So, I'm going to ignore John. I'm going to come on, even though John did me a favor. All right. Like I say, the most important part of this whole thing should be the change that is in your life. That's what you should be using to witness to those that you used to hang out with before who no longer like the new you. Because they will not like the new you is the problem, depending on where they are. So you probably heard the saying, guilt by association, or maybe birds of a feather flock together. Or perhaps one bad apple spoils the bunch or the barrel, depending on how old you are, how that saying went. These sayings, they serve as a warning about hanging out with the wrong people. And I know what you are thinking. Even Jesus hung out with sinners. So I should hang out with sinners, because that's what Jesus did. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus did not do what they did. When Jesus hung out with them, he was witnessing to them. He was telling them to quit sinning, is what he was doing. He wasn't participating in what they were doing. One of the dumbest things I've ever heard churches doing was this beer with Jesus thing. They used to get together and go to a bar and hang out and drink beer and witness to people. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Honestly, it was a group. It was called Acts 29, which, in all honesty, is the dumbest name I ever heard of, because there is no Acts 29. But that's what they were claiming they were. They were the next chapter of Acts. It's pretty presumptuous of them. But this idea that we got to be like the world to attract the world is a man's wisdom. God's wisdom is, don't do that. Show them the difference. Be who God wants you to be. There's a difference between being in the world with them and being of the same world as them. However long the Lord decides to leave each of us here on this earth, we will be in this world with these people, but we will not be of this world. We will not be participating. We should not be participating in what they do. Jesus explained this in a prayer. He actually said a prayer for his disciples. It was in John 17. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17. It says, he's talking about his disciples. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So we're going to be in the world. The world is our mission field. That is where we are to do our work. But we are not to be like the world. We are to be a little different. The concept is explained further in 2 Corinthians 6, starts in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So those redeemed by the blood of Christ have no business doing what non-believers are doing. There's no chance that that's possible because you are different. It's like trying to mix light and dark, oil and water. They don't go together. But the question comes down to, who do you love more, the Lord or your old friends? Proof of your salvation is in your action. Things you do. You do not have to answer that question, by the way, because your actions do speak louder than your words. If you think that I'm being too strict or too legalistic about this, pay attention as I read the next two verses of this passage. Starts at 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them. Does it get any clearer than that? Not really. That's pretty clear, right? Come out from among them. Don't live among them. Don't live the way they do. Jesus said to separate yourself away from those of the Lord, of the world, because you are no longer part of the world, but you are a child of the King. Totally different relationship now. Now, I want to tell you how this came about. I was driving to work one morning this past week, and I was just thinking about things the church should know collectively. What we should learn, asking God to give me some direction. And he actually gave me this thought. It became the nucleus of this whole sermon, but it was a question came to my mind also. Is who is the source of spiritual encouragement in your life? Who is that? So I want you to think about that a moment. Who is the source of spiritual encouragement in your life? My fear is, some of you will say, you're a pastor. That's not good. That is not good. Because I'm going to break this down for you. If I am the biggest source of spiritual encouragement in your life, you need to find new friends. There are 168 hours in a week. If you follow the rule of 8 for sleep, Ray, 8. just eight. Then you're awake for 112 of them. Oh, there you are. Your pastor, the most you will see me, and that is if you come to church every Sunday in both Bible studies, is 3 to 4 hours. So you have 112 hours after sleeping, and you see me for 3 or 4. It's not even 4%. 4% of your waking hours are spent in church if you're here at all three meetings. That means 96% of the time you are spending with somebody else, somewhere else, doing something else. If you don't have good Christian people around you, that's 96% of the time you're not being encouraged to do the right thing. It's a problem. So many of us come to church on Sundays, and that's our time with God, and we go back out in the world, and we spend the rest of the time with a bunch of people who don't even like God. And today, our society is actually going against God. It's not that they just don't like him anymore. It's that now they've got to prove that he's not likable, that they don't have to follow him. You need to have somebody in your life who's with you more often than just a Sunday morning or a Bible study. You have to have somebody with you, around you all the time. Hanging out with the wrong people leads to bad decisions. One of Satan's tactics is to convince us that we can handle bad influences. Oh, it's no big deal. I'm strong. I can deal with that. That's pride getting in your way. You got to be careful. You believe this, you'll believe it's okay to go to places where temptation lurks. Don't go there. If you have a weakness for drinking, but you want to witness to your friends who are drinking, don't go to a bar. Take them to a restaurant for lunch that does not serve alcohol. Don't put yourself in that spot. If you're worried about your friends who all they do is party all the time, don't go to their party. You'll never convince them to quit partying if you're out there to party with them. You know, if they have trouble gambling, you wouldn't want to take them down to Charlestown racetracks. You say, hey, let's go have lunch at Charlestown Racetrack. Well, you walk through about 50,000 slot machines to get to the restaurant most of the time. They make sure you get to see them all. Then they broadcast the horse races everywhere and everything else going on. If you have trouble gambling, you don't want to go there. If you want to witness to your friend who has trouble gambling, don't go there. Pick someplace else. Satan is the father of lies. He's the one that convinces us that we can handle temptation. And it's no big deal. We can go hang out with our old friends and we will do it to influence them for God, hanging out doing the same stuff we used to do. That's a lie from Satan. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. So we are to awake to righteousness. That doesn't mean every morning you wake up, it's to righteousness. It means our whole mindset is now awake to righteousness. Everything we do relates to righteousness. Every decision we make, it all comes down to the righteousness that we now have through Christ Jesus. We are to pay attention to the changes that was brought on by our salvation. You know, there's a old Indian story. I'll tell it to you. It's about a old Cherokee who was teaching his grandson about life, and you've probably heard this. A fight is going on inside me, he said to the boy. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. He continued, the other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person also. The grandson thought about it for a moment. Then he asked his granddad, which wolf will win? And the Cherokee simply said, the one you feed. It's the one you feed. Are you feeding your spiritual walk or are you feeding your worldly walk? That's what this is about. We need to be sure we are surrounded by people who help us in this spiritual walk. That we are not playing into Satan's tricks, thinking we can handle the temptation. that God will understand if we sin. Yeah, God will understand, but it doesn't make it right. As a believer, you are forgiven of that sin, but you are not relieved of consequences of that sin. You'll ruin your testimony. You'll ruin your reputation. That's what's going to happen to you. Proverbs, which everybody knows is a book of wisdom, and it's not just any old wisdom, it's actually God's wisdom. Solomon was granted a gift from God. He could have had anything he wanted, and he asked for wisdom to lead God's people. So God made him the wisest man to have ever lived. He compiled most of the book of Proverbs. He actually wrote most of it, and it was compiled later, I mean. But look at what it says in Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. You cannot hang out with sinners and not be corrupted by them. You cannot. You can't go to their parties. You can't go to their hangouts. You can't do the stuff you did before. That's how this works. If you're worried about your drinking friend's salvation, and you should be, talk to him someplace where there's no alcohol. You should be worried about those you've left behind in your past life. You should try to point them to Christ. Now, I know you're already making some excuses in your mind, probably, but these are my friends. Or, I've always hung out with my friends, and I don't have anybody else. The Bible addresses this in James 4. It's verse 4. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Is that the side you're choosing, to be an enemy of God? Are your friends more important than God? I sure hope not. Your love needs to address their spiritual condition, and your actions need to show them the difference and point them to God. You know, even Psalm, the Bible is full of verses warning us about bad friends. It really is. It's a pretty important topic the Bible addresses. If you ever get a chance, do a search on it somehow. See how many of them are out there. But even the book of Psalms has several warnings about it. And if you think about it, you know, you would never let an enemy in close enough to stab you in the back. So when we're stabbed in the back by somebody, it's usually a friend. That's who was able to get close enough to us. You know, you got to be aware of that. You got to be careful who you let inside your circles. If you look at Psalm 55, it's verses 12 and 13. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. That's who will stand against you. That's who will have the most influence in your life. If Satan came in here today, all of us would know we should resist Satan. But if your friend from your old life came in here today, we would let him right in. I have no problem letting him into the church and letting him here, but I'm saying we would let them right in. We'd let them right back into our lives because we've missed them. And the next thing you know, they're going to be calling the shots, or they're going to stab you in the back somewhere along the way. True friends are always looking out at what is best for you. That's what true friends do. Many of our friends are not that way, though. Jealousy in friendship leads to drama and conflict. The wrong friends will tear you down to keep you from growing. They will divert you into sin to justify their own. That's also a problem. A true friend will encourage you in the right things and push you to attain new heights, even if they are not able to join you in that. You all have heard stories where somebody wanted to make themselves better and their parents didn't want them to. They wanted to go to college, but nobody's ever going to college, so they're told they can't go to college. Or they wanted to graduate high school, and nobody's ever graduated high school. They tell them they can't graduate. Make sure they don't get to. Some people in your life will just hold you down to where they are because they don't want to be compared to you. Their whole crutch on their behavior is that this is the hand life has dealt me. We've all been dealt that same hand. I hate to break it to you. What we do with it depends on each one of us and our faith in God. If you turn to God and you start growing as a Christian and you start changing your ways, people are going to get mad at you. It's that simple. You need to put some distance between you and them. Pray for them, love them, care about them, invite them to church. Do things with them if you want to, but not the same old things you used to do. We need to surround ourselves with Christian friends, and we also need to encourage one another in that circle. That's how that works. You have to be encouraged, but you also have to be an encourager. Choosing friends wisely, not a new concept. It's been a problem pretty much since the fall. There's always been trouble with what friends and what they can do to you. George Washington said, "Associate yourself with men of good quality. If you esteem your own reputation, it is better to be alone than in bad company." So the truth is that once you are saved, you need to stay away from the temptations of your old life. This often means that you need to pick new friends. We cannot live our old life once we begin our new one in Christ. The Bible has a graphic description of this behavior. It's in Proverbs 26:11. "As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." That's what God thinks of sin. When we return to our old ways, our old life, our old sins, God compares that to a dog returning to its vomit. We all know what a dog does when it returns to its own vomit. It'll eat it. That's a pretty graphic illustration of what God thinks of this type of stuff. So we need to surround ourselves with Christians who will encourage us in our walk. And in turn, we need to encourage them. One thing to keep in mind, and this is something you need to really pay attention to, there is a simple rule out here in the world that says if you spend 18 minutes a day studying one topic, just simply 18 minutes a day, at the end of the year, you will be 94% smarter on that subject, or you'll be smarter on that subject than 94% of the world. You will become an expert. Now be careful of that. You need to have some guidance on that type of stuff. But do you have a daily devotional time? Do you spend time in God's Word? Are you spending at least 18 minutes a day studying God's Word? I'm not talking about just reading it. Reading it with the help of the Holy Spirit is where you start. But actually studying it so you understand it. 18 minutes a day. At the end of the year, you'd be smarter than 94% of the world's population when it comes to the Bible. It's not that hard. It's a simple formula. We use it all the time in education and in the business world. If you want to know something, spend 18 minutes a day, at least 18 minutes a day studying it. Nothing better to know than your Bible. As we study God's Word, we will see the difference between how we are to behave and how we do behave. Because quite often those are two different things. We will understand how to help others find God. We understand the importance of our action in pointing people towards salvation. It is not by doing what we used to do. I can tell you right now. If you honestly think that you can get saved and live your old life, you're as guilty as the early believers were who thought they should sin more so they got more grace. We cannot do that. Remember, we need to pick our friends carefully. So there are a couple things you can take away from this. The proof of your salvation is actually in your behavior, not in what you say. You can give the world's greatest testimony, but if your walk doesn't match it, you just wasted everybody's time. And think about that. Who is the source of spiritual encouragement in your life? Find somebody on a daily basis who will speak truth into your life. Do not be mad when somebody speaks truth into your life. Do not be mad when somebody comes up and says, you know what, I don't think that's really what you should be doing. The Bible says this. Don't be upset over the correction, because the Bible is for correction. And that last question, are your friends more important than God? Because that is really where it comes down. Do you want to choose your friendship with the world over top your relationship with God? Be careful of that. All right. Bow your heads. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word, for your message that you gave this morning. Lord, we ask that you watch over us and help us, guide us, direct us, help us to be in these decisions we have to make, and show us how we can be the most positive influence on the friends that we have left behind because of the change in our lives. Lord, we do know that the world does not like the light. They hated you, and you were the Son of God, so by comparison, we don't stand the chance in that, because we are not the Son of God. We are not perfect and righteous and holy. People are going to use our past bad behavior against us to discourage us. But Lord, we know that in you we are a new creature and all things are new, and that we have this fresh start, and that we need to be careful. We need to work hard to make sure that we are the shining light that you ask us to be. So Lord, help us with all that. Guide us through that. And Lord, as we go into this time of an altar call, if there's anybody here who does not know you, please have them come forward to get that decision right. Lord, we ask all these things in your Son's most holy and precious name. Amen.